We've come here this afternoon united together by loss, united by the experience of the deaths of our loved ones who have been taken from us. In other words, it is bereavement that brings us here today. For some here, your loss will be very recent. For others of us, it's further away, perhaps years away. But we cannot and we do not want to forget. So this service here at the Good Shepherd is something that we want to be part of. It's a time for renewed grief and sadness, also a time for fresh thanksgivings for all the good memories that our loved ones leave behind them. It's also a time to reflect on life and death and where, if anywhere, God is part of all this. The Bible reading that we've just heard is a story about bereavement. It's a story in which Jesus plays a major part, and so it tells us much about how he responded to the death of a loved one. The death in question was the death of his much-loved friend Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And this was a family to whom Jesus was very close. So Jesus wasn't talking about bereavement at a distance. He himself was experiencing it in a very personal way. Now, I hope that in these coming few minutes, we can look together at three things that Jesus shows us about bereavement. I pray that these things will strengthen each one of us who's come here this afternoon and strengthen us not only in this service, but also in the days ahead. And the first of the three things is this, that Jesus shows us that the loss of a loved one is quite rightly a time for tears, for grief, and for mourning. Did you notice that in our reading, weeping and tears are mentioned several times? Mary was weeping for the loss of her brother. Martha was no doubt doing the same. Many of their friends were also crying. And then in the shortest verse in the Bible, we read that Jesus also wept. He wept both for himself in his own personal loss. He wept also for others who were so distressed about the sickness and death of Lazarus, a man who was all too young to die. It's a well-known saying that we grieve because we love. If we hear of the death of hundreds of people in some disaster at the other end of the world, we may be sad to hear the news, but that news does not turn our lives upside down. It's very different though, isn't it, with the death of a husband, a wife, a child, a sibling, a grandparent, some other family member, or a close friend. Such people have been very dear to us and we to them, and their loss can be quite devastating. Every one of them was the one and only, and their deaths leave a gap in our lives that can never be filled in the same way. So we mourn and we grieve and we weep. And although the intensity of this may lessen as time goes on, the loss remains, and there are times when it all comes back to us in ways that are still very painful. I think of birthdays and anniversaries and services like this one here this afternoon. And if Jesus wept at the loss of his dear friend, then all of us here this afternoon, we have no reason whatsoever to be ashamed of our tears. We grieve because we love. And in God's book, that is something that is good and beautiful because God is love. Now, it's sadly true that some other people may find it difficult to respond to those who mourn. They may even urge us to get over it and to get on with our lives. But as many of us here will testify, that's not helpful at all. And so if and when we hear that kind of thing said to us, we can remember the many tears including the tears of Jesus at the sad and untimely death of Lazarus. Let's move to a second thing that Jesus shows us about bereavement, and it's this, that the loss of a loved one is a time for asking questions. It's a time for asking the big questions about life and death. It's a time for reconsidering our whole approach to what life is all about, which means that for many people, the time of bereavement can lead us to further personal growth in our lives. It's a growth that comes our way in and through pain. In our Bible reading for the service, there are questions that are being asked. Jesus himself asks questions. And both Mary and Martha ask questions of Jesus by implication. And their question to Jesus is, why did you let him die? Why did you not come here earlier to heal Lazarus and to save him from death? I guess that many of us here this afternoon will identify with that sort of question concerning our own bereavements. Lord, why did you let him or her die? Why didn't you bring healing? Why did you let it all happen in the way that it did? Jesus welcomed questions. He didn't try to brush them aside. And we here in the Good Shepherd Church do not want to do any of that kind of thing. The church should always be a place for facing up to the biggest questions of all. That doesn't mean that this church or any other can provide all the answers to the deepest mysteries of life. It's, after all, only when we meet God face to face that everything is going to become finally clear. That's not a cop-out. That's just realism. But hopefully in this church and many others, there is some light to be found in the teaching of Jesus Christ about the meaning and purpose of human life. And certainly in response to the questions from Mary and Martha, Jesus seeks to give them new insights and new perspectives. He wants them to start thinking in a new and different way. He wants them to have a greater understanding that human life is not just about the here and now, it's also about eternity. Not just about this life, but also about the life to come. To put this in the words of St. Paul, Jesus wants us to fix our eyes not only on what is seen, but also on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, says St. Paul, but what is unseen is eternal. We're not to be ashamed of grief and tears. We're not to be ashamed of asking questions. And here at the Good Shepherd, we have what's called a bereavement group, which is a place for both. I haven't been to this group myself, but I've spoken with some who have and who found it most helpful. It's one possibility in the life of this church here at Good Shepherd, and there are also other opportunities for talking with others about the mega questions that bereavement can throw up for us. And I'm sure that Bridget and Sarah, who you'll see in a moment or two, can tell you more about these. Let's move to a third and final thing that this story of Lazarus can tell about us about bereavement, and it's this. That Jesus shows us that the loss of a loved one is a time for thinking afresh about the Christian hope. In other words, all the sadness and pain of bereavement can lead us to the Christian hope that the end of this life need not be the end of everything. This coming to the Christian hope, either for the first time or revisiting it, it may not happen for us when the intensity of loss and grief is at its height, but it's something that can strengthen us more and more as the years go by. And it's the hope of life eternal that Jesus wants to communicate to Mary and to Martha and others also in their time of bereavement. And in those famous words of Jesus, so often heard at funeral services, Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, I'm stronger than death. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says to Martha and Mary, and indeed to us here this afternoon. These words of Jesus do not mean for one moment that life here on earth is unimportant. It's very important. We have to live day by day, and Jesus has got a huge amount to say about this life. But the words of Jesus are not only about living this life here and now. The words of Jesus are also pointing us to eternity. And in quite an amazing statement, he says that he himself is the key to life beyond the grave. And wonderfully, he goes on to demonstrate that he can raise people from the dead. And he raises Lazarus there and then as a sign that in the future he can and he will raise millions more. He conquers death on the first Easter day, never to die again, so that if you and I are joined to him by faith and trust, however weak that may be, we too will share in his victory and live with him forever. Do you know anything better than this? Do you know a better hope than this? I don't. And it's a huge privilege for me to speak out this message of hope here this afternoon. And I do this not in a detached kind of way, but as someone who personally has experienced painful bereavements in my own life. Some of you already know that the most painful one in our family was the loss of our 24-year-old son, David, who was killed in a road accident in Australia 16 years ago. It is a loss and a pain that is ever with us, and David's name is one of those that is going to be read out later on. One of the things that I found myself doing, and particularly in our early years of loss, was writing poetry. And to finish up this talk, I want to read one of the poems that I wrote just a few months after our family tragedy took place. And this poem is called Flying and Dying. And it goes like this. On runway vast with roaring jets, the mighty aircraft gathers speed. 400 tons and people too, a wonder of the world indeed. The nose lifts up while wheels below have only seconds left on earth. Then slowly to the skies she climbs. Another flight has come to birth. It speaks to me each time I fly of going upwards one last time. The day I die and then take off for what will be the highest climb. 100 times and many more, I have in pilots put my faith that they with skill to journey's end would take me through the clouds quite safe. For my last flight, whene'er it be, in Jesus Christ I put my trust that he will fly me to his home while my old body turns to dust. All of us need, do we not, the comfort and the strength that comes from other people who understand us and who are there for us. That describes our God, who is the beginning and end of all that exists. He's always there for us with his comfort, his strength, and his hope. So may each one of us here this afternoon reach out to him. Perhaps you've never done that before, but let's reach out to him. I encourage you to do so. Reach out to him, cling to him, and live with him, both now and forever.